Stay tuned now for a special edition of Beneath the Surface with guest host Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. That's coming up next.
Oh yeah, Jerry's Peoples, Jerry's Peoples! This is your friendly neighborhood blogger, Brad Friedman, investigative journalist, coming at you, sitting in tonight for Jerry Quickly, the big man, here on Beneath the Surface on KPFK. Thrilled to be here tonight, sitting in for my friend and neighbor, Jerry. That's right, as it turns out, if you live next to Jerry Quickly, you get to guest host for him when he goes out of town. I don't know where he is. Does anybody know where he is, by the way? No, they don't know. They just they dropped me down here for this very special edition of Beneath the Surface tonight. We're going to take a look at the electoral meltdown that is underway, and I promise you, you're not going to be happy by the time you finish with this hour, but I will hopefully give you something you can do about it along the way. I'll give you some of the headlines that I've been reporting, some of the breaking news on bradblog.com today, and believe me, it's breaking like crazy. Running on fumes here. 2 hours sleep last night, I think. We broke a big story. I'm going to get that to you shortly. We're going to have got a great guest list here tonight. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Robert Carrillo Cohen, one of the filmmakers of HBO's Hacking Democracy, which will be premiering just minutes from now, actually, at the top of the hour on HBO. I've seen it. It's terrific. I reviewed it a few days ago over at Computer World. We'll get the inside skinny on that. We'll also have Sherry Myers, the author of the comic book called Cheated, about what went on in Ohio 2004, see if we can learn any lessons from that, and perhaps most importantly, talk to Sherry about what's going on out here in Los Angeles concerning election protection, what you can do about it, and she'll have some tips for you there, because, guys, we got to take our democracy back. Later on, we'll have some breaking news coming in from Attorney Ken Simpkins from Carlsbad, California, outside San Diego there. He has filed a lawsuit against the Registrar of Voters down there, Michael Haas, and might I add, one of the worst registrars in California, perhaps one of the worst registrars of voters in the country. He has allowed these Diebold touchscreen voting machines, hackable in some 60 seconds, to be sent home with poll workers for weeks at a time prior to elections. As a recent report from Princeton University showed, 60 seconds is all you need to break into one of the, well, actually 60 seconds and a hotel minibar key, I kid you not, that's all you need to get into a Diebold touchscreen voting machine, the kind they're using down there across the entire county in San Diego for this election this year. That's all you need. Get in. You can implant a virus, a vote-flipping virus, which will then pass itself from machine to machine. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Pass itself from machine to machine, flip an entire election, delete itself at the end, and you would never know it. All that's needed is, as I say, about 60 seconds time of unsupervised access to those Diebold systems. Just one of them. By the way, you know, a lot of folks used to talk about this stuff as conspiracy theory. What we now know from Princeton is it's not a conspiracy because it's not a theory because it's been proven by Princeton that this can happen. It's not a conspiracy when it only takes one person to flip an entire election. So Attorney Ken Simpkins is going to be with us. He has filed a lawsuit down there against Haas and about the sleepovers and concerning emergency paper ballots and Michael Haas's defiance of the Secretary of State's order that everyone should be entitled to vote on paper if they wish. Let's get that word out, guys. You want to vote on paper in California? All you have to do is X for it. Ask them for a paper ballot. They should give you one. If they don't, let's make some noise. Contact me over at velvetrevolution.us, which is an organization that I helped co-found. We are going to have a huge election protection strike force effort. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that as the show goes on here tonight, hopefully. Some breaking news then before we go to Rob Cohen. As I stayed up all night last night on the Brad blog to break, it turns out that here we go again. Sequoia voting machines, which are used across, everyone talks about Diebold. Yes, they're hackable. Yes, they're a terrible company. Yes, Hacking Democracy on HBO tonight will cover a lot of that. But the other voting machine companies have gotten a free ride because Diebold is so crappy. That said, ESNS is crappy. Sequoia is crappy. And you want to know how crappy they are? As it turns out, as we broke last night, there's a little yellow button that you can press on the back of any Diebold touchscreen voting machines. Press the button, and a series of very simple procedures, and you can vote as much as you want. That's right. Vote early, vote often, because you can do it on a Sequoia touchscreen voting machine. It's unbelievable. It clicks it into manual mode. You can vote again and again and again, and as one of the sources I spoke to said, you can keep voting until you are physically restrained from doing so. Secretary of State Bruce McPherson has certified these systems incredibly, and in fact, he was asked on Tuesday about this, and he said he knew nothing about it. Now, we know for a fact that his office confirmed this vulnerability on Monday. They were also informed some 30 days ago. Bruce McPherson didn't do a damn thing about it, and Maria Armudian had Deborah Bowen on just before this hour. She's running against Secretary of State Bruce McPherson. She understands these security issues. I can't believe that these are the type of machines that we are running our democracy on in this country. What else do we got here? A couple of, I had mentioned the Diebold systems, how easy it was if you get 60 seconds of free time to hack those machines, to access those machines. Well, we've got video over on Brad Blog. As it turns out, Cuyahoga County folks have been seen putting those memory cards incredibly into their laptops. Speaking about easy access to put a virus on them, God knows what else can happen. Our democracy is in shambles. We need to stand up and fight for it here. We're going to fight for it tonight. We're going to fight for it all the way through Tuesday and beyond. Everyone says to me, hey, Brad, we have more time. Will you be free to chat more after the election? I say, sure. When will that be? Christmas? It's going to get ugly. I promise you. Not happy about it, but I promise you. Okay. Let's see. One more story before we take a quick break and come back with Rob Cohen. This just out from Washington Post. It looks like they beat Bradblog.com to a story for a change. Good for them. It's taken them 2 years, but at least they're playing along. Turns out they say a recently distributed guide for Republican poll watchers in Maryland, where, by the way, they've had some of the worst voting machine meltdowns this year. The guide spells out how to aggressively challenge the credentials of voters and urges these volunteers to tell election judges they could face jail time if a challenge is ignored. In other words, they're intimidating folks. They're doing it from top to bottom, from the voting machines to the registration polls. And this is a shame because out there in Maryland, you've actually got a Republican governor who has been calling for an end to these machines and a return to paper ballots. I'm glad to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that there are still some real bad guys on the ground who don't give a damn about democracy and are going to do anything they can to keep people from voting. That seems to be the only trick these Republicans have left in their bag. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Robert Carrillo Cohen from HBO's Hacking Democracy. You're listening to a special election meltdown edition of Beneath the Surface with Brad Friedman on KPFK 90.7 FM.
in an electronic voting machine, you don't have a little guy inside the machine taking dictation.
You've heard about it.
It says minus 16,022 votes.
How do we know this is right?
Now, for the first time, see the hack that changed America.
The problem is a pretty significant security hole.
The outcome of an election can be fixed.
You can essentially rewrite history.
And no one would ever know.
How can this be happening to our elections?
HBO Documentary Films presents Hacking Democracy.
Feel great, thank you. Let me go vote first.
All right, you're listening to Beneath the Surface. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, sitting in tonight for Jerry Quickly. That was a clip, a teaser from HBO's Hacking Democracy, which is airing, just moments from now, top of the hour. Of course, if you're listening to KPFK, keep listening to KPFK. TiVo HBO's Hacking Democracy to watch it later. Coming to us, actually, he lives out here in Los Angeles, but I think he's in New York tonight. Robert Carrillo Cohn, one of the three filmmakers, along with Russ Michaels and Simon. Hey, Rob, help me on this. Simon
Ardazzoni.
Ardazzoni, thank you. You know, I talked with Simon this morning for the first time from London. I talk with you and Russ quite frequently. First time I got to speak with Simon. Anyway, hey, welcome to Beneath the Surface. Great to talk to you. How are you feeling out there? You got a big premiere party going on tonight, or what?
I'm just elated. I just sit back, you know, in just amazement in the last few days on a regular basis. You know, I only saw that trailer. It's been running all month a few nights ago for the very first time. And I've, of course, sat through the film so many times. And when I saw that trailer, I was just almost overwhelmed with emotion. Like,
well,
God, it's real.
I was actually overwhelmed with emotion myself when I watched the film a few weeks ago, and you guys were kind enough to give me a very early look at it, and it's incredibly moving. And give us the I'll let you run through this. Give us the idea of what this film actually shows. This 3 years in the making, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all started for me. It started in numerous places, but it started for me looking for a subject to do a documentary about. I'd been working on many other people's films and wanted to do something that I thought was important, and came across Bev Harris's research back in 2003. And it actually reminded me that I had read a story in, like, 1998 in Tucson, Arizona, where I lived at the time, that D-Bolt machines had had a problem. And just thought, this is unbelievable. And for me, I tend to put a lot of faith in scientists. I like the scientists. And when all the computer scientists are saying, this isn't the appropriate technology for the application, then it was a no-brainer to me. I was like, there is something seriously wrong here if this is not accountable to the citizens who are supposed to own this democracy. And so shopped it around. Took it to this wonderful executive producer in New York, Sarah Thiel, who agreed to work with me on it. I had worked with her before. We couldn't get anyone to take it up. At that time, people were calling this just conspiracy theory.
Now, let me ask you about that. You were following around these conspiracy theorists, and Andy Stevenson from blackboxvoting.org, and other activists down there, Susan Pinchon from Florida Fair Elections. You guys have been trailing these guys for like 3 years. Have been investigating, and as this thing has been unfolding.
Absolutely. Well, actually, what happened was originally Simon and Russ had come over. It had started for them doing a segment of the Channel 4 News in England. And they had got to do an interview with a Diebold executive. Nobody anymore can get interviews with electronic voting company executives. And this was some amazing footage. And when the other executive producer from Los Angeles, Earl Katz, who's been working on this story for a long time, told me about these guys, I thought, well, maybe we should team up. And they had footage of Bev. They had her in the California hearings concerned with Diebold using uncertified software. And it's just been a nonstop journey since there.
Yeah, now you guys had And pardon me for jumping in here, because we don't have nearly enough time, because I'd really love to jump in here. But to dig in, you guys got, as you said, firsthand footage of this jerk Mark Radke, this liar. Can I say that? You maybe you can't, but I'll say it. This liar.
That certainly says it in the film. She points out the specific instances where the information that's coming from.
Yeah, Bev does. I mean, you followed these, frankly, tireless citizen patriots as they've caught these guys in the act. And the film culminates, I don't want to give away the ending, but one of really an extraordinary hack attempt, we'll say, for now.
I think everyone knows now how the film culminates with the hack in Leon County.
Yeah.
Which I have to give Russ credit for. He was the one who really believed that you had to get... It was so obviously theoretically possible. Computers are hackable. Banking computers, which have millions of... have identity theft on them all the time. And these computers have hardly any security. We're not getting it from reading about it, and we wanted to show it. We wanted to make it real. I found Hari Hirsti from Finland. Bev paid to have him do the study, and Ion Sancho opened up the first actual real working election system in the country to a test. And we demonstrated on that machine a now proven multiple times, Berkeley report out of California verifies it 100%, that these systems can be manipulated in a manner that erases itself and leaves no trace.
And clear, on that system that you guys hacked in that film, not you, but Ion, Hari Hirsti, actually, yeah, that was a paper-based optical scan system. A lot of people think if they got a paper ballot, oh, everything is fine. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because we use these secret machines, these secret software, people don't realize that nobody ever gets to look under the hoods, nobody on the federal level, nobody on the state level. And, in fact, after you guys filmed that hack in Leon County, Florida in 2005, it sent shockwaves all the way out here to California. Bruce McPherson, the Secretary of State, was about to recertify those machines when this happened, and he had to go back to the drawing board, as you said, at UC Berkeley. His own group found out, his own scientists said that, confirmed the Hirsti hack, said there were 16 more vulnerabilities, and yet, incredibly, he certified the system anyway. I want to let people understand that. Now, what do you hope? We've only got a few more minutes here. A couple of questions. First, what is your hope for people seeing this film? Are you concerned that they'll get that they'll get discouraged, that they won't go vote? What are you hoping?
No, I've always just, I have tremendous faith in the people. It's just we have been a little bit asleep on this issue, and my feeling was that when people see this, when they can actually viscerally connect with it beyond just all the abstraction of computer code and scientists, and really see what's going on, that the citizens of this country have always been in charge on a certain level in terms of, you know, from the time of the Revolutionary War to now. We have made this country happen. It's supposed to belong to us. And as you know, through the entire journey of this film, it's been citizens that are out there that have gotten us this far. And I believe a lot more citizens are going to get involved now that the film is coming out, that all this other news is coming out at the same time, which is wonderful. And my hope is that people will understand that this is not just one company. It's not a partisan issue. This affects us all. We have more in common as voters, forget the politicians of either party, but as Republican and Democratic citizens, we are not the enemy of each other. We should not be dissuaded of that fact by people who try to polarize us. And we need to come together to protect our democracy. And I really see that movement accelerating. It's very exciting. And, of course, we have to continue to participate and vote, because if we don't, we are turning it over to these private corporations and other people to make our decisions for us.
And let me actually toss out a word here. Ion Sancho, one of the heroes of your film, he's from the...
Hero of democracy, absolutely.
He really is. He's one of the few election directors who allowed people to actually investigate, to look at these systems. Most of these guys don't, and he is a hero. And if you're not sure, tune into that thing and find out. Tune into Hacking Democracy tonight and find out. I want to, let's see. Actually, let me take, Rob, can you stick around for a few more minutes? I want to take a quick break and come back to you with one or two questions about Diebold's reaction to your film and what they tried to do to keep you from airing it. Can you hang around for just 2 minutes or so?
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Thanks, Rob. We're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to a special edition of Beneath the Surface on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and worldwide on the web at kpfk.org. Hey, bradblog.comers, hope you're listening. We're going to be right back in 2 minutes more with Rob Cohn from Hacking Democracy.
At KPFK, our radical programming is the envy of the Pacifica Network, and we truly stand out as the alternative media outlet for the Southland. But it isn't always enough to stand out. We need to be outstanding. My name is Jack Van Aken. I'm running for the KPFK local station board because I want to bring credibility to our news department and public affairs programs. Our listeners deserve professional journalistic integrity. Our volunteers deserve to be treated with appreciation and respect. Our staff deserve a progressive workplace environment. We need financial transparency, accountability, and responsible oversight at KPFK. I will work toward these goals. Vote Jack Van Aken for KPFK Local Station Board.
You can learn more about your candidates for Local Station Board at our website, kpfk.org. Please rank your favorite candidates in order of preference, 1 through 15, and return your ballot in a timely manner.
This is Mr. Rhythm, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in tonight for our special Election Day meltdown preview here on Beneath the Surface, sitting in for the big man, Jerry Quickly, tonight. Couldn't be more proud of that. Did I mention he's my neighbor? Yeah, really. He lets anyone host this show. I am your friendly citizen blogger for BradBlog.com. We're speaking with one of the filmmakers of Hacking Democracy, which airs tonight, just 35 minutes from now, over there on HBO. We played earlier a trailer, which I believe, a trailer for the film, that HBO was kind enough to give me early on, and we ran that, of course, over at BradBlog.com. Hey, Rob yeah. Cohen, how have the reviews been? Well, first off, how was the first review you got, Rob?
You mean the letter?
No, before we get to that. The
review. Oh my God!
Yeah, the
it
first
wonderful.
Yeah, where was that at? That was
Brad Blog, of course.
Oh, it was over at Computer World.
You wrote. Yeah, no, that's true. The review. I'm just saying your original article that you wrote on Brad Blog was awesome, and the review at Computer World was amazing too. I mean, I couldn't have been happier.
Okay, so that's a good review of my good review of you, right?
Very easy to do.
Okay, thank you. Enough of this log rolling. Let's get to the difficult questions, Mr. Cohen. HBO doesn't like you. They don't like your film. They don't want HBO to air this thing. They sent a letter.
Diebold doesn't like it.
Oh, what did I say? HBO? No, HBO likes you. I'm sorry.
HBO said HBO by the film. Yeah. I could not have been more gratified. It's just amazing to have it with them, to have them backing us. No,
okay, HBO likes you. My mistake. See, that's what happens when you get these guest hosts in here. Okay, let me make that clear then. HBO loves you. Diebold, on the other hand, not so crazy about you. They sent a letter to HBO. They said you got all kinds of facts wrong. They said it was shoddy reporting, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
They said that it was beneath HBO's usually excellent documentary quality.
Yeah.
And they wanted a rebuttal and a pre-buttal to explain how bad your movie was.
Right.
How'd that letter go with HBO?
They responded. They said they stand by the film. It's not unusual for people to try to point out anything they can to protect themselves any way they can, I guess. The main thing is when the letter came in, we just had to look at it just, we went into a complete just focused mode. Everybody was looking at this, just checking it, making sure that we had the paperwork, we had the emails, we had the documentation to back up everything that they had pointed out in the letter.
So you had your facts straight, and apparently, even though they accused you guys of shoddy reporting, and I was trying to set you up for a softball, Rob. The softball being that it turns out Diebold never actually saw the film.
I was going to start to say that, but then I got sidetracked. Yes, they're basing their comments at this point on the only way that they could, which is we put out a free public service version of some of the material before the 2004 election. We just felt it was important to get something out there for the citizens working on this issue. They've seen some of that footage, and they saw some of the material on some websites that talked about the film, and they based their comments at this point just on that.
So when they said you had shoddy reporting and should not release this film, they had never seen it, and they were talking about a completely different film than the one that's airing.
As a matter of fact, the film since that time has been completely taken over and reformatted, and it's a completely new film.
So even in their criticism of you, somehow Diebold, the once great company, and they were a once great company, even then they managed to be inaccurate, whether it's with their voting machines or with their hate mail to you and HBO, they still got it wrong.
Well, they got a number of things in that email wrong. The most significant one to me, the thing that jumped out at me, is when they called Hari's hack a sham, which not only did we know that it had been verified by the California government's request for the Berkeley report, which not only confirmed it but found 16 additional serious problems. But also by the fact that the letter mentioned that Hari had declined to take up their challenge to restage the hack.
Now he's the software.
That was not accurate.
He's the computer security expert from Finland who came in and hacked these systems.
He came up with the idea. He figured out the vulnerability of what he could do by being that close to the source of where the ballots are stored.
And they invited him out. California Secretary of State Bruce McPherson invited him out to try this hack out here in California after it was successful in Florida, correct?
Well, it was, David Jefferson is the one who I know he was, most specifically in contact with, who was the technical advisor to the Secretary of State. It was actually David Jefferson who withdrew the request, with Hari having gone all the way out when he saw all of the additional requirements that Diebold was trying to put on the test.
So the Secretary of State withdrew the offer to do the test?
Yes. And they knew that.
And, I'll tell you something else about that test. Also, as Bev Harris over at blackboxvoting.org discovered, it turns out that the original invitation to Hari Hursti from Bruce McPherson on Secretary of State stationery was actually drafted by a Diebold employee.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I may have even seen an email where there was a header that indicated that, and that would be a very serious problem.
Yeah. It appears that he's working. They've got Diebold employees working inside the California Secretary of State's office. And I'll tell you something else. That guy who wrote that, his name is Rob Pelletier. He works for Diebold up out of British Columbia. He appeared, he had a cameo appearance for a few days over at bradblog.com. He called himself Wally O'Diebold.
Oh, that's right. I remember you were having this person posting anonymously, and it turned out it was him again or something like that.
Well, yeah, he was passing on disinformation to our readers. All right, I got to, and he's been busted. And
just say one more thing, which is thank you so much to HBO for coming on and believing in us and getting this film out, because we could not have asked for, after all of that work, for a more gratifying conclusion to get this out to this country and to get this message out there. That's the greatest reward we could ask for.
Well, now you're just kissing their ass. I mean, no, they're going to run the thing anyway, Rob. It's, you know, there's nothing's going to stop it. You only got 29 minutes. It's running.
It was my dream the whole way along. I just, you know, the fact that it's actually happening.
It's happening, my friend, and I got to let you go watch it because I got to get to two other folks. So I want to thank you, Rob. We'll talk to you soon. Great luck tonight. Rob, Robert Carrillo Cohen, one of the filmmakers from HBO's Hacking Democracy, airing tonight, top of the hour, 9 p.m. Eastern, and I guess 9 p.m. out here in Los Angeles as well. Tune in, but TiVo it, because keep listening to KPFK, and then watch it at your convenience when KPFK is running something else that repeats or something. All right, we're going to go to our next guest here. Coming up a little bit later in the hour, we've got Ken Simpkins, the attorney, a San Diego attorney who is suing the Registrar of Voters, Bruce McPherson, down there. I want to bring on Sherry Myers, the creator of the the comic book called Cheated, which tells the story of the 2004 election in Ohio. What? There was a story? 2004? I hadn't read about it anywhere, Sherry.
Oh, Brad.
Oh, Sherry.
You were responsible for getting the film, the video, the vote to John Conyers, and I mean, if people had not stepped up, and that's what the story is about, is people saying, hey, you know what, I have to really get involved here.
Well, Sherry, you got involved with and you tell that story in the book Cheated. Remind me, let's give the website address for that where folks can buy that book. But it tells the story, it tells it beautifully, and as I like to say, in a way, in a comic book fashion, in a way that even George W. Bush could understand. And you're one of those heroes, frankly, one of the patriots in that book, along with Bob Fitrakis and other folks who have been fighting for electoral integrity. You did it in 2004, highlighted in the book, and you do it again and you're doing it again now here in Los Angeles with these our midterm meltdown coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you
what
know,
can you tell
I
us?
Just to clarify, you know, the Burley book is about all of us, and I'm only in two frames, so please. But this is how serious it is. You just heard what Rob had to say about McPherson. We all know that we're in great danger of losing tremendously all over the country because of machines and because of purging. So what we are asking citizens to do is to make it their job to monitor at the polls. So I have been working with Poll Workers for Democracy. They have been urging people to take the county training and then to take the Poll Workers for Democracy training. And then they're ready to really watch the polls. And then at the end of the day, they file a report, and the report gets into a database that attorneys can use and people like Brad can use and people like me can use, and we can spread this information. So that's part of it. Okay. Poll Workers for Democracy.
That's actually, let me give that. That's Poll Workers for FOR, democracy.org, where you can get more information on that, right?
And you can still take the training in L.A. November 4th is the last day of the training, but it's very much worth it. They are down hundreds of people, maybe thousands, and our poll workers are really not going to be up to the job.
What do you mean they're down?
In other words, they don't have enough poll workers for this county. And so we're really going to be, I mean, we have poll workers, we're using new machines. There are all kinds of new, there's all kinds of new things that have come up, and we have a very, basically pretty aged poll worker foundation. We're adding to it as fast as we can. And those people who are there from sunrise to sun down are going to see everything, and they're going to know what to look for, and they're really going to know how to support the voting process.
Now,
it's so important.
So this is a matter of, you know, we hear people complaining, you know, about what goes on at the polls. Is the idea here to make sure these votes run smoothly? Is the idea to make sure that, you know, we have the good guys in there paying attention, making sure they're not gaming the system? Why is it so important for citizens here in Los Angeles and Santa Barbara and elsewhere to join?
Because it's our job. It's our job. It's our vote. And we need to be able to really actually like be in the space, you know, when not just vote, but watch the vote, really, so that we can understand really what is going on? I mean, if people are not watching, how will we know if it went well or if it went badly?
Well, won't the LA Times tell us how it went?
Brad.
What, no? I'm confused.
No. What we are going to be doing is first we have Poll Workers for Democracy, and these are people who are there at the polls. And then we are running poll monitor training for people who want to be monitors and just look, just actually be inside the poll or outside the poll, but basically taking notes, offering the voter rights pamphlet, really just being a resource, right?
Yep.
Now, those people, though, if something goes awry, they are going to call in to the dispatcher, going to call the video of the vote crew, for example.
Yes.
If they're
video,
a long
and
line,
let me point them to that.
Videothevote.org.
This year, we heard about everything that went wrong in 04 and everything else. This year, there's a crew of folks at videothevote.org who are out there who are going to be showing up to videotape a lot of these incidents. But we're also asking people, human beings, citizens, bring your own video cameras to the poll with you to video your own vote. So when something happens, when a machine flips, when they refuse to give you a paper ballot, you can video, document this thing. We can get it out there, and they can't call you a conspiracy theorist this time around.
No, absolutely not, because we're witnessing it, and if we can take the training at Poll Workers for Democracy, even if you don't become a poll worker, or take the training at Video the Vote, know what the parameters are, what you're looking for, we're all going to conduct this with a certain amount of dignity, which is very important, I think. Because we're not conspiracy theorists. We're people who have sweated and really cared, and cried about the state of our elections. So let's all come out and let's do everything that we can do. Video the Vote is still putting teams together. So if people want to come out and work, especially in East LA and in South Central, we're going to have poll monitors there, and they're going to be, we need video. So we need people. You can just sign up. You don't qualify, you just have a camera,
And you go to that's for Video the Vote. To sign up to be a poll worker or a poll watcher, I guess. Poll workers. I'm sorry.
Let me correct that.
Yeah.
A poll worker goes to Poll Workers for Democracy.
Yeah.
And they sign
on
.org, and then they sign on, and I will get in touch with them to make sure they have the schedule for where they can go to take the last couple of days of poll worker training with the county. If somebody wants to be a poll monitor and not work the full day, perhaps, but watch the opening of the polls, take pictures, be a witness, they can sign up for a training. If you live on the west side, you can sign up for a training. I'm going to give an email address.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Robin Gibson at sbcglobal.net.
Does she know you're giving out her email address here?
It's fine because we're blasting this everywhere.
Right.
And if you live in the Valley or if you live in Santa Barbara, we'll flip you back to where you need to go.
Okay. You're going to flip them where they need to go.
Well, for example, there are people who are training poll monitors in the Valley.
Yeah.
So that's where they can go to get their poll monitor training.
I got you. You'll point them in the right direction.
There's poll monitor training in Echo Park.
All right. Well, thank you for what you're doing, Sherry. People do have to, stand up and take their democracy back. They've got to participate. They've got to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I think people have forgotten that in this country. And the only way we're going to restore this is if the people show up again and take it over.
And, even if the Democratic Party isn't doing everything that it could do, we really have to be the stand we want to see in our leaders. We have to show them this is what we're up to. This is what's really important. My website is Wake Up and Save Your Country.
Can you get the comic book at Wake Up and Save Your
you
Country?
You certainly may.
Okay,
certainly
Wake Up and Save Your
and
Country.
And Save Your Country.
Dot what?
Dot com.
Wake Up
dot com.
And Save Your Country.
And Brad,
yes.
I hope you're going to fill people in on what we're doing with all the video, right?
No.
You're going to. Okay.
No, I'm napping. I'm quitting after this.
Really?
Listen, we're gonna have a lot of that over at videothevote.org. We're gonna have it at velvetrevolution.us. I gotta get out for a quick break here, Sherry.
Okay.
Sherry Myers.
Sure, Brad.
WakeUpAndSaveYourCountry.com. You can get the comic book Cheated there, find out what actually happened that the Washington Post didn't tell you about, or the LA Times. I really appreciate everything you're doing. And, folks, please go to pollworkersfordemocracy.org. Take your country back. Thank you, Sherry. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. We're going to be back in one more minute. This is Beneath the Surface on KPFK 90.7 FM. We're back in a moment.
My name is Yo Shamanaka, and I am a candidate for the local station board. I have served as a board member on many progressive, social service, and human rights organizations. My activism also includes marching in anti-war demonstrations since the 1960s. I have been a telephone volunteer in many KPFK fund drives. I taught math, science, and photography for 14 years while working with special education students. I am a member of the State Bar and have served as a Workers' Compensation Administrative Law Judge for the past 11 years. If elected to the LSV, I would ask to serve on the Outreach Committee. I believe that my many years of working with other human rights activists in the Asian community will help KPFK's outreach efforts. You don't have to vote for Yo Shamanaka, but please remember to vote. Thank you.
You can learn more about your candidates for local station board at our website, kpfk.org. Please rank your favorite candidates in order of preference, 1 through 15, and return your ballot in a timely manner.
All right, welcome back to a special edition of Beneath the Surface. Oh, wait, Jerry's Peoples, Jerry's Peoples! There we go. Promised him I'd do that. A special edition of Beneath the Surface, a pre-election day. Let's call this your PDB. Your November, where are we here? November 2nd? Anybody there? Anybody in control? November 2nd, I think. Your November 2nd PDB, your pre-election day brief. You remember when Bush got his, saying bin Laden determined to attack in 2000, August 6, 2000, he did nothing. Well, this is your PDB. What you do with this information is up to you. I am Brad Friedman, sitting in for Jerry Quickly. We are getting beneath the surface of democracy as we head towards Election Day next Tuesday. And don't let them tell you it's any other day than that, because they'll try. One of the things we're covering very closely over at bradblog.com is this, jerk, Michael Haass. The registrar of voters down in San Diego who has been sending home voting machines like candy, the world's most hackable. And he doesn't talk about folks who don't care about answering to the people. We're going to talk about this in a second with attorney Ken Simpkins, who has just filed suit earlier this week down in San Diego. He's a Carlsbad attorney. He's filed suit against Michael Haass, the registrar of voters down there. And we're going to have a bit of breaking news on that lawsuit. But first, let me bring in Ken Simpkins. Hey, my friend, thanks for joining us on Beneath the Surface.
My pleasure, Brad. How are you?
Oh, exhausted. You?
It's been a busy afternoon.
Yeah? You've been at the courthouse today, have you, Ken?
I did visit the courthouse for a little bit today.
Okay. Don't give it all away. We want to hold the cliffhanger. Give us an idea what you actually, why did you bring suit against this poor, poor registrar of voters, Michael Haass?
Well, Michael Haass doesn't really seem to understand what his job is, and his job is to protect the integrity of elections in San Diego, and he's more interested in protecting the interests of Diebold and all their corporate profits.
Hmm.
In particular, we're concerned that in spite of the Secretary of State's mandate that he make sufficient paper ballots available for voters who choose not to vote on Diebold machines or in case the Diebold machines break down.
In case?
In case, yeah.
ahead.
Being generous.
Well, now, to be clear, the Secretary of State has put out a memo. I believe it was October 3rd memo. They did it secretly, but some folks were able to get at it via public records request. The memo tells the registrars that they must have ample supply of paper ballots and that any voter in California who wishes to vote on paper may ask for one for any reason. Am I correct on that, Ken?
Yes, you're correct. And unfortunately, Michael Hoff he's been very secretive, like you said, about, in particular, how many paper ballots he's going to make available and when he intends to count those paper ballots. After a lot of effort on my part and on the part of other activists in San Diego, we were able to piece together the apparent plan, which is to make 100 paper ballots available for every precinct in San Diego County. That's 1,600 precincts, and 1.3 million registered voters in the precinct.
So he wants to put in 100 paper ballots, or you wanted to put in 100 paper ballots?
Now, he's apparently giving the poll, the precinct inspectors, 100 ballots for each precinct.
Is that enough?
Well, we don't know, but if you consider the experience that they had in Maryland, it probably isn't. You
know, where it melted down in the primaries. So he's made it clear also, I understand you went through a poll worker training, that they're encouraging people, poll workers, to tell people that these voting machines are great and to not let them know about their right to vote on a paper ballot?
Yeah, they're trying to generate a lot of interest in the voting machines. They believe this is going to increase the turnout at the polls just because they have these machines. They are downplaying the paper ballots. They are not providing notice. I had talked to Haas's office and asked if they were going to provide notice at the polling places, and they said no because the form of the election is electronic. When I asked if a citizen could provide notice at the polling place, they said no because that would be electioneering.
It would be electioneering to tell someone that they have the right to vote on a paper ballot?
That appears to be the policy for Michael Haas.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Well, listen, I mean, I hope that, therefore, the people down in San Diego show up like crazy with huge signs that say, you have the right to vote on paper ballots.
I'm doing what I can to make sure that happens.
Good. He's just incredible. Now, he sent these voting machines home beginning, I think it was October 16th. Poll workers in San Diego will have had 3 weeks to find the 60 seconds that are needed, confirmed as needed to insert a virus on these systems. We've got just a couple minutes left here. Ken, what are the three causes of action, essentially, that you filed in California Appeals Court? I think you went straight to the Appeals Court. What were the those three causes of action?
Well, we're asking the court to require Haas to count the paper ballots on Election Day instead of on the Thursday following the election.
Oh, that's right, because the Secretary of State said they must be counted as normal ballots, and he's refused to count them on election night, correct?
That's correct. And in every theory of equal protection under the law, that would be creating a suspect class, and, you know, you just can't do that. So he's got to treat all the ballots equally, count them all on Tuesday. The other thing we were asking is that the court order that a sufficient supply of ballots be available. And the third thing was asking the court to stop the practice of sending the machines home because it's a violation of the certification of the machines.
And so these three causes of action that seem quite reasonable to me. Thank you. By the way, the plaintiffs that filed this, you filed it on her behalf, was Kathy Peterson.
That's right.
A patriot who stepped up down there, stepped forward, and couldn't be happier about that. And so where is now this case? You filed it, I think, on Monday. You got word today on what the California Appeals Court is going to do with this case?
Yeah. Well, we filed in the Court of Appeal first, so because we could get a more authoritative ruling that way and save some time. They declined my invitation to make a ruling on the case. They refused the jurisdiction that they have under the California Constitution. And invited me to refile in Superior Court, which I was able to do at the last minute this afternoon.
So you refiled because why did they turn it down at the Court of Appeals? On what basis?
Well, I can give you a cynical answer, but probably the stated reason was that there were fact issues that they weren't prepared to deal with. But, I mean, there are fact issues in every writ that you file under these circumstances.
So give us quickly give us the cynical answer now, Ken.
I think I'll reserve that for off the air.
Smartly done. All right. Ken Simpkins, thank you. You've refiled this case. Any idea when we're going to, we got to get out here shortly, but any idea when we're going to get a decision now from the Superior Court where you filed this?
Absolutely no idea, but before we go, I'd like to let you know that, interestingly enough, the judge who's been assigned this writ is Yuri Hoffman.
Oh, man. You drop that on me at the end of the hour that I can't even explain who the hell Yuri Hoffman is, the guy who threw out the case, the Busby Bilbray challenge that happened over the summer.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Well, then let me say nice things about Yuri Hoffman. I think he's terrific, and I'm sure he'll decide in the voters' favor because he owes them one after that last mess. Ken Simpkins, thank you very much for touching base with us here tonight. Thank you for the good fight you're doing down there. I want to let folks know VelvetRevolution.us, a group that I co-founded, is helping to fund folks like Ken to bring these suits. Thank you for doing this. We need more attorneys in this country. I think it's going to take a lot of attorneys this Tuesday. But hopefully we'll get a decision on that prior to Tuesday's election. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Brad. Take care.
Keep up the good fight. Oh, man. Our democracy in meltdown. That was Ken Simpkins. I want to thank all of our guests tonight. Too much to fit into 1 hour. But, hey, I've only been reporting this stuff for the past 2 years. How to get it all into an hour? Not easy. But I am going to keep making noise. I hope you're going to join me making noise and taking action, because that is the only way we will restore our democracy. You got to get involved. You got to make noise. You got to read bradblog.com. It's very amusing. And as well, you've got to support groups, not just bradblog.com, but folks like velvetrevolution.us, pollworkersfordemocracy.org, as we talked about tonight, Sherry Myers over at wakeupandsaveyourcountry.com. These are the patriots. Look, a lot of people ask me, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? What's going to happen this Tuesday? I can't tell you. I don't know. I can tell you what I fear. I can tell you what's happening already. We're seeing votes flipping all over the country on touchscreen machines so far in Missouri, in Texas, in Arkansas, in Florida. I can tell you that no one at the governmental level is minding this store, that it is up to the people. All the stories you heard tonight were about folks who stepped up, this ragtag group of citizen patriots who have stepped forward to do the right thing, to get their democracy back. And believe me, as a blogger, I was never supposed to be doing the stuff that I'm doing. I felt that it needed to be done. And I hope you've heard a few things tonight that make you realize it needs to be done. You can take action. You've got something to do, and you have to do it. I want to thank all of our guests here tonight. Sherry Myers, Ken Simpkins, Robert Carrillo-Cohen of Hacking Democracy, which is going to air, at the top of the hour. Not here, but elsewhere. It's a great film, and I hope they understand this the right way, that it made me sick when I watched it. I also want to thank KPFK producer tonight, Christine Blasdale, for having me in Jerry's chair here tonight. And, of course, my executive producer and darling girlfriend, Desi Doyen. Stay tuned tonight for the community calendar, followed by the KPFK evening news right here on KPFK 90.7 FM.